Welcome to the podcast, What's So Important About My Legacy? This is your host, Ken Edwards.
Welcome to the audio edition for week 6 of Building My Footprint for God, the companion guide for small groups or individual study of the book, My Footprint for God. Our topic today is ordinary people. What is ordinary? We're all special in God's eye and created with a unique purpose that only you can fill. But God uses regular people to accomplish His will. With a quick read of Hebrews 11, we see many ordinary, regular people listed as heroes of the faith. These were regular people willing to let God use them to change their world. So what about you? Have you ever dreamed how God could work through you? Today, I'm excited to introduce Lori Westlake. Originally from Texas, but she has been involved in missionary work in Equatorial Guinea, Honduras, Mexico, the Philippines, India, and Guatemala. She is a passionate student of God's Word, especially in eschatology and apologetics. Her passion for sharing the amazing news of Jesus Christ is evident with the first cup of coffee or the first blog post you read. She is a published author with Quest for the Life Tree, Bent, and her upcoming mystery, Calculated Risk. Lori and her husband Steve have 3 grown children and live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Lori, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Ken. It's so good to be with you, and it's good to get to talk to you this morning.
Well, thank you for joining us today. So our audience has a little bit of idea about who you are. Just give us a little background on who Lori Westlake is.
Well, as you said, I am a wife and a mother and a grandmother as well. And most importantly, I am a child of the Almighty God, and Christ is my King. And I have had the privilege of being in full-time Christian ministry for about 25 years.
Well, praise the Lord for that. So let's talk a little bit about Emma. Why do you think Emma saw herself as an ordinary person?
You know, I love Emma. Because I think that's the way we all see ourselves. I think that we see ourselves as less than spectacular. And we all feel like, what do we have to contribute? What do we have to offer the Lord? Missing the whole point that we actually all are spectacular because we reflect His glory and because He lives inside of us. But yeah, I feel like Emma just represents all of us. It's just, who am I and what can I do?
So why does God use ordinary people?
Because that way He gets the glory. I think that when we do phenomenal, miraculous things through acts and service and love, it all points back to Him. You know, the smaller star I am, the bigger and brighter He shines.
Over the years, I've discovered our happiness does not come from acquiring more. It comes through living our life with purpose. Have you found this to be true?
What I have found in my own life is that when we give ourselves over to Christ and His purpose, and let me just say, first, that I fail at that. I'm an ordinary sinner. I have selfish thoughts and I make selfish decisions. And when I fall in the footsteps that He is planting for me and down the paths that He is lighting up for me, my life is an adventure and one that is full of joy, like you mentioned. When you just let go, and that's cliche, let go and let God. But when you let go and you follow Him, crazy, wonderful things happen.
You know, when our children see us faithfully give to God's kingdom, it teaches them a lot. In what ways does our giving influence our children?
Oh, my gosh, I have the greatest story for that question. But it influences them forever. We set a foundation in our children, and we're actually mirroring Christ, then they will just naturally grab those. In America, I feel like the culture says grab. In a modeled home of giving and generosity, that inner culture says give.
Well, that's really true. Our culture naturally teaches us to grab. But we find much more fulfillment when we learn to let God use us in our giving. So what is that greatest story you wanted to share?
I feel like I need to kind of, because this is actually a story about one of my own children. And it's I learned from what my child did. I got really convicted early in our marriage when we were struggling financially. Not only three small children, but we had a young pregnant girl move in with us whose parents had kicked her out. And so we were feeding 4.5 mouths, and it was hard. And we turned to the Word and really kind of clung to some of those scriptures that Jesus says, give and it shall be given back, and your blessings will be pressed down and overflowing. And when God says, test me on this, we decided that that's what we needed to do. And we got into a regular habit of giving to our church. And things really did turn around. And from there, we began to take God seriously about being open-handed. And through that, we began this modeling of giving to our children and teaching about that. So the story is, one of the ministries I was working for at the time was going to have a very large fundraising event. Well, my daughter was volunteering. Well, she began to ask me about what was going on here. What was this? And I explained to her what we were doing. And she said, well, I want to hear these people. She has an interest in international affairs because we lived on the field for a short time and she's been exposed. So I want to hear these speakers. And I was like, oh, honey, no. This is for people who have been giving to us, who are very serious about this. Well, I gave away 60% of my income this year. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, yeah, Mom, I made $1,000 babysitting and I gave $600 of that to charity. So I went to my boss and I said, look, I know what the answer is, but could we let her stand maybe at the back by the door and just let her hear? Because, I mean, we got a kid here that's actually interested in hearing about world mission. You know, how often does that happen? And my boss said, I don't think so, but I'll go talk to the vice president who is in charge of this event. I'm going to get emotional. I'm sorry, but he said, not only can you listen to our speakers, but I'm going to put you at a seat at one front table. Because anyone that would give away 60% is a top donor in my eyes. And I feel like that is sometimes what God is saying. How, not the amount, but the heart. The heart. And I was reminded at that moment of the widow who gave all she had. But God didn't look at that. He looked at her, what she was doing inside.
Well, you know, all too often we think it's the size of the gift that matters. But God looks at our heart. When the widow placed those two copper coins in the offering basket, it was huge in the sight of God, because she gave out of her need. Lori, do you have any other stories that you can share?
Another one that I wanted to talk about and tell you about today was, we had a gentleman give us a $25 gift. And with that gift, he wrote us an email. Dear ministry, my wife and I are in our 80s. And we are retired, and we do not have funding or income to continue. But I wanted you to know that my wife gave me this $25 for my birthday. And I found no greater joy than to give that to you so that God's word could go to another person, because God's word is everything to me. So I consider it an honor and a privilege to bequeath that gift to you. Ken, we all cried like babies. That $25, it harkened back to the widow's mind. That gift, he gave up his birthday gift. I wouldn't have done that. I'd be like, what restaurant am I going to? He considered that gift something to move forward, not something to hang on to. So, you know, it just kind of brings you back to the center of nothing I have is mine. It all belongs to God. And I try to keep my eyes on that when I'm struggling to let go of something like a $25 birthday gift, because someone gave that to me and I want to go spend it. And I try to keep my eyes on that eternal perspective that we're not there yet. And I just try to keep that beautiful picture of perfect is coming.
Well, praise the Lord for that. Do you have an example you can share with us today how our giving builds our legacy for God?
Well, I wanted to share the one that came to my mind when we were talking about the importance of passing on the legacy of giving to your children. And so Sue's story is pretty wild. Her story is that she and her husband were very middle class. She was a physical therapist and he was a teacher. And they raised three kids in Colorado, living a very middle class life. And they had quit their jobs and opened a sports business. And they had not been givers. They were Christians, but she said, we were the occasional tither. But they emptied their savings account, poured it into this business. And before they got it off and started, her husband was diagnosed with a terminal brain cancer. She actually had thoughts of, where's God in this? Where's, you know, is he going to rescue us? What's going to happen? Well, something else is going on during this time for her. Her mother, unknown to Sue, had some stocks that she had been hanging on to for more than 50 years. And these stocks were in a business that her father, which would have been Sue's grandfather, had started. And soon after Sue's husband was diagnosed with this terminal cancer and things looked really bleak, her mother, who was in her 90s now, came to her and said, I've got something to give you. And my dad told me, never sell these stocks, but I'm 90, I'm living in a care home. And she said, I'm going to give you these stocks now. Use what little bit you need to get yourselves out of this financial, you know, unexpected because of a disease hardship. So use the rest for Christ. And Sue and her sister instantly became millionaires. The sister was obedient and opened a educational school in a developing country in Africa. And Sue has gone a different route with her giving, and she supports Great Commission International work and has given away a lot of money. And you know what, Ken? I went inside her house. She still lives like the middle class physical therapist. She's not updated her carpet in 25 years. I'm so mesmerized by her. She to have millions of dollars in a bank account, following her mother's legacy, doing it for Christ. And she says, Laurie, I am living the best days of my life. Every one of those stories convicts me. And I guess that's why I hang on to them.
Lori, I'm sure, having lived on the mission field, you have seen and experienced firsthand abject poverty. So why have Christians in America been so blessed?
Oh, this is a loaded question now. Everybody brace yourselves. Acts 17:26 says that God has appointed every man's time and place on earth. What that tells me is I was appointed to live in the United States of America at this exact moment. But I believe we were blessed to bless others. We have a purpose in this. And our money is, and our wealth is purposeful in God's economy. He made the economy, we didn't. He could have made money grow on trees, we didn't. And we received the blessing because of it.
And what have you learned about living by faith from your time on the mission field?
Living in a third world country, I did see a blessing. I've been in Asia countries, African countries, Latin American countries, and poverty begins to look the same. Poverty is usually a result of some kind of evil and some kind of government corruption. So the people in the hands or at the hands of evil begins to all look the same. And it's devastating. But also, let me tell you something. The Christians that we encountered on the mission field and worked with and next to, they have a faith that I don't understand because they literally live on a fish a day. I had a pantry. You know, we could get, people would box us over food. And when the market occasionally had a canned good, I would grab it. I mean, a can of corn cost us $4. But when that would be there, I'd grab it because I understand I have to have food for tomorrow. That's my mentality because I'm an American. I have to have food for the week. I have to have a pantry full. I have to stock up. I have to be a planner. And you go there and they wake up in the morning and they say, literally, Ken, give me this day my daily bread with a dollar in their pocket, fully expecting God to feed them. And you know what he does? He feeds them. And I begin to realize there is a level of faith I don't anticipate ever experiencing. But there's a blessing there hidden when you have need and you completely turn to the Lord.
So our takeaway should be, don't depend just on our own abilities. Trust God for your fish each day. As we learn to live by faith, we'll discover a new joy in serving Jesus. Lori, thanks for being our guest today. Each day we build our legacy and we leave our footprint on this world and on our family. For those involved in a small group study, please give your attention to your group facilitator to continue this discussion on building my footprint for God. Thanks for joining us today. Please tell your friends and church family about us. Also, hit the subscribe button or head over to footprintforgod.com to discover more. Until next time, this is your host, Ken Edwards, reminding us to build our footprint for God today so our family will follow the Lord tomorrow.